the hidden costs of hormone-disrupting chemicals. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. $340 billion. A new study estimates that's how much it costs Americans every year for daily low-level exposure to chemicals that mess with our hormonal systems. The figure includes healthcare costs and lost earnings. Dr. Leonardo Trasande is an associate professor of pediatrics at NYU School of Medicine.
In our study, we focused on the chemicals for which the evidence was strongest for their contribution to disease. And in particular, we focused on flame retardants, which are used in electronics, furniture, and a variety of other products.
They also looked at chemicals used to make plastic soft and certain pesticides. He says endocrine-disrupting chemicals can lower IQ, mess with the way our brains and metabolism work, and lead to birth defects. You can see a breakdown of the costs his team found at michiganradio.org. This is the Environment Report. 2016 has been on a record-breaking warm streak, according to the federal agencies that track these things. So what does this unseasonably warm fall mean for birds that need to start packing up and heading south? Andrew Farnsworth joins me now. He's a research associate with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and he's the lead biologist for BirdCast. It's a tool the lab created to forecast what's happening with bird migration each week. First, how much are birds in our region being affected by the warmer temperatures that we've been having?
It definitely varies across species. Some birds are quite dramatically affected in that, for example, in the fall, species may stay around quite a lot longer than they might otherwise if temperatures are warmer. For example, waterfowl, water birds, common loon, ducks on the Great Lakes. If temperatures are warmer than average all the way through the fall and into early winter, those birds will stick around much, much longer than they would if there were a freeze.
Now, some species are more affected by the length of daylight or the length of the day, right?
That's right, yeah. There's a whole array of species. Many of the, for example, the warblers that breed in the boreal forest, so in the northern reaches of the Midwest, but also well up into Canada and Alaska. Many of these birds are what we call calendar migrants. So they depart and arrive and time their movements on a larger scale, basically by the amount of day length there is.
How are you seeing climate change affect migratory birds?
So birds are no doubt very good indicators of the ways that organisms can respond quickly to changing climates. Of course, the issue is, are they going to be able to do it fast enough? So when it comes to these abnormally warm years, and in particular these abnormally warm falls, there's no doubt that we may start to see changes in the distribution of birds and birds that were migrants that now become residents. We've seen that in a number of places in the U.S. when it comes to, for example, Canada goose or a few other species, turkey vulture, that now are not so migratory in many places. So that's one immediate outcome. Of course, another is that for birds that are doing these calendar movements, they can get horribly asynchronous with the resources around them. So they can depart much earlier than they might need to. They can arrive much earlier than they should in the spring. And if the prevailing temperatures are either different or more severe storms exist, there can be big problems. So it's really a wild card that depends on the species itself in terms of how climate change is going to play out.
Andrew Farnsworth is a research associate with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebecca.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.